2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete, another touchdown!
Cougar Sports Saturday. A presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans, for Cougar fans. Brought to you by Macy's, your local grocer. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars. KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in Cougar Sports Saturday, June 10th. Live from Broadcast House. However, and wherever you're listening, we appreciate you spending some time with us on it's going to be a beautiful Saturday here in the state of Utah. I'm getting a little tired of the rain. I am going to say we got a lot of water during the wintertime. Could we get a little sunshine? It feels like every afternoon we've been getting rain.
It's been weird.
It's been very weird.
The long winter, and now it's still there's been nights, I think it was last week, where we were outside, my family was for a cousin's birthday party, and it was like cold. It felt like it was wind. It's like this is summertime. I mean, it's kind of just a different year. I mean, it's been a cold time.
On a positive spin, it does feel like we've gotten a good spring.
Yes,
there are a lot of Utahs where we just skip right over straight into true. Summer. So it has been nice to have a nice spring, and this spring-summer season has been good to a couple former BYU players trying to make a name for themselves in the NFL. One guy in particular just continues to get praise, Mitch, and it's a guy you loved for a long, long time, and he's continued to show his skill set. Puka Nacua, what did you make of the commentary from Sean McVay and Super Bowl-winning soon-to-be Hall of Fame wide receiver Cooper Kupp regarding Puka Nacua?
Well, let's hear those comments from Cooper Kupp as we get a notification here on this computer. Let's hear those comments from Cooper Kupp.
He's pretty special. I think if he can do what he's, he can stay on a good trajectory, he's going to be a very good football player in this league. I love the way that he attacks each day. He's got a great feel for the game, great feel for leverage, running routes. You come in, you're running new concepts and things like that. Things that you've done before to get open might not fit within the realm of the things that we want to do here, but he's just transitioned so quickly over to understanding what the parameters are that he's able to work in. He has a great feel for attacking leverage, how to stick things, his timing on when he needs to show up for things. And, as he gets, he's asking the right questions too. I think that's the big thing. He's asking the right questions. And, as he gets more reps, over and over, as he gets to see these things, he's just going to get better and better. So really excited about him and, the steps that he's going to be able to take over these next few months.
That comment from Cooper Kupp is a story because he's a Hall of Fame wide receiver. And he's a guy that rewrote the record books in 2021. He, what was it, the
triple crown?
Triple crown of receiving leader. I mean,
yards, catches, touchdowns.
Amazing in 2021. And last year was a dip year, but I think he still ended up with, 800 plus yards.
Well, he got hurt.
Right.
And that offense stunk. He was the only part of the offense.
Amazing player and a future Hall of Famer. And for him to give that sort of praise is noteworthy. And it speaks to, I think, Puka's talent. It reminds me of a lot of the things that Kalani talked about when they got Puka from Washington, when he was coming up through the ranks in Orem High School. the comment by Cooper Kupp about he asked the right questions, the preparation for Puka Nacua, he always competes in practice like it's a game. And that's what kind of was a separator for him in college football. I don't know if that can be much of a separator in the NFL because everyone is elite in the NFL, but I think Puka's going to make it. And I think Puka's going to be a guy that has a 5-6 year career at least in the NFL. I just think there's so much potential for Puka Nacua. And we were talking before the show today, the fit with the Rams is great. And you know all about the Rams.
Yeah. I'm wearing a Rams t-shirt right now. That's sort of been my adopted NFL team. So I love that Nacua is with the Rams. The Rams, well, let's get on the fit thing really quick. And then I also want to kind of validate Cooper Kupp's comments. But the fit is the Rams win the Super Bowl. And then the following year, they got old to try and repeat the Super Bowl. They brought in Bobby Wagner from Seattle. They brought in a receiver from Chicago, Allen Robinson. It just didn't pan out. And the offensive line, Andrew Whitworth retired. Their offensive line was really bad. They had a lot of injuries, and Stafford got hurt. Kupp got hurt. It all fell apart. Like, the highlight of the year was Baker Mayfield having a game-winning drive on Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime. Like, it was a tough year. But because they weren't that close to winning a championship, they just gutted. Bye, Bobby Wagner. We'll get rid of Allen Robinson. Goodbye, Matt Gay. Goodbye. A lot of guys left. They traded Jalen Ramsey to the Dolphins. So the roster is wide open for young players to come in and compete. Like, even at receiver, Puka could very well be the number four receiver this season for the Rams. And you're one injury away from playing every single snap in that offense. That's it. Because they've got Cooper Kupp is back. They got Van Jefferson still. They've got an undrafted guy named Ben Skoranek, who has been kind of a Cooper Kupp light, very light, I should say. And then after that, it's wide open. And Puka kind of gives them, too, an interesting look opposite of Kupp. Like, Van Jefferson is kind of known in the NFL as being a vertical player. Kupp is, I mean, he can do it all. I think Puka Nacua can be all of that. He's got the verticality that we've seen at BYU, but he can run great routes. And then I think the other thing that validated Cooper Kupp's comments for me, Mitch, is it wasn't just Cooper Kupp who talked about him. Sean McVay has. New offensive coordinator, Matt LaFleur, or Mike, is it Mike?
Yeah, Michael.
Mike LaFleur. I always get him and his brother mixed up to coach of the Packers, which maybe that doesn't hold much weight because he ruined Zach Wilson's career with the Jets, but even he was talking in detail why he's having success. It's one thing to say, oh, he's got a great attitude and he's showing up. That's base level stuff. When you're talking about leverage and all the little things that he's doing to create space in camp, that's significant. I think Nacua is going to make it with the Rams.
The guy that was throwing the rock to Puka at BYU, Jaren Hall, he's up at the Minnesota Vikings. Vikings love Jaren's character. No surprise there. Jaren is a just top shelf human being. I mean, I hate the sometimes in sports we put these individuals on a pedestal and act like we know everything about them. Like, we interacted with Jaren through practices and media functions, but I've seen enough of Jaren that I feel pretty confident that man's got a great character, and it's no surprise that he's getting praised for that character. I'm very curious to see if he ends up being that backup quarterback potentially for the Vikings and maybe plants the seeds to be the quarterback of the future, maybe hopefully for Minnesota. And then in Indianapolis, Blake Freeland getting starter reps at right tackle with their right tackle out with an injury. Head coach Shane Steichen told the media he likes where Freeland is at right now.
I don't like him at right tackle, though. That's the only thing.
Played there in 2019 and 20.
I know, and he was good. And he was a good right tackle. And if that's what it takes to play, then great. But the money's at left tackle. Like, that's where it's at. So hopefully that's just an experimental thing. I'd love to see him at left tackle. But if that's what it takes to get on the field, then that's fine.
That's my thought, is just find a way to get on the field, and then it'll work itself out. If you're dominant at right tackle, they'll switch you over, and they'll put you at left tackle. And it's just tough when you're not that first-round pick. Like, it only feels like first-round, and in some cases the second-round picks, they're the only ones that step in, and they just get their position that they were in college, and they're going to be given all the tools necessary to be successful at that position. Everyone else, kind of at the mercy of where you need to fill the gap and be do what you're assigned. And if it's right tackle for Blake Freeland, but he's playing and starting, that's all you can really ask for.
What'd you make of last NFL thing related to BYU? First time we heard Zach Wilson in a minute, he spoke with the media with the Jets, and so did Aaron Rodgers. What'd you make of both of their comments?
He took responsibility, Zach did, for the fact that he didn't perform and owned up to it. And I think Zach kind of got mischaracterized a little bit. I think so many people in the media out there in New York just acted like that one quote after that Patriots loss just was this awful thing that he – I mean, I felt like there was a little bit of heat and tension between Zach and that reporter that asked the question, and then Zach doesn't take ownership for the loss and his responsibility for it. And I think it kind of got spun a little bit, but the quote didn't sound good, and his performance was not good last year. But he's taking responsibility. This is the only quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, going to the Jets that gives you a sliver of hope that maybe Zach could bounce back and be the guy again. If this was Mike White, it's like, this is over for Zach, like done completely, and it still might be done. Like the big story that I'm kind of curious to see with Zach going forward, Rodgers is older. You got to imagine there's going to be maybe a game or two where he gets banged up and he's out. Do the Jets hand over the offense to Zach, or do they go to another QB?
Tim Boyle.
Yeah, Tim Boyle, who's very close to Rodgers and has been there in Green Bay and a guy that Rodgers is very close with. That's what I'm really curious to see. I think all of this is nice, and I expected this where Zach's going to consume everything that Rodgers is doing. Rodgers isn't going to be like, hey, guy, hey, Zach, do this. Like, that's not happening, I'm sure, I would assume. But Zach's going to absorb everything he can and learn from Rodgers. I just wonder when Rodgers goes down, if he does, with an injury, do the Jets hand it over back to Zach and give him a chance to say, when Rodgers is done, whenever that may be, and it could be after this year, you never know with that guy, will Zach be anointed again the next guy in the building? And I still have a lot of doubts with that because I don't know with this Jets organization.
Yeah, I have doubts too. I think it's time in New York is done. I did like the commentary from Aaron, though, where he said, I get it that I'm old and part of my job here is to help Zach. I thought that was cool because Aaron is notoriously in the past had problems with backup quarterbacks. He was not, he never spoke like this about Jordan Love when he was in Green Bay. So that's great for Zach. Zach's time in New York is done. But in your example, is there a game or two where he can show something? They let him go and then he gets another chance somewhere else and revitalizes his career.
Because that's what you got to hope for.
That's very common in the NFL. For the next stop to be a place where it pans out for you. Think of a Ryan Tannehill.
Great point.
There's plenty of others. Like Mark Brunell is a guy who comes to mind way back when in Jacksonville. Jake DeLome's a dude, you know, who bounced around a little bit. So there's plenty of examples. The question is, can he get his confidence back? Can he show a glimpse? Because I'm with you. Aaron's not going to play every game. And let's say the Jets have a great year. There might be a game or two at the end of the year where they're sitting Aaron that he's just got to show something that gets him the next job in a better situation.
That's a great point because there have been many quarterbacks. Think about a Matt Flynn who can get a legit contract because of a Week 17 or Week 18 performance. That's where Zach's just got to absorb everything, and when he does get that opportunity to go back on that field, he's got to be good, and he's got to improve his trade value. Because I don't see a path where the Jets will ever give him.
Not with this staff.
No
Maybe
way.
If it's a whole new staff.
And that fan base, I think, is just done with him.
Yeah.
You know, anytime the Jets post any sort of thing on social media, and again, I always try to go through the lens of social media is not real life, but anytime they post any sort of highlight of Zach making a nice play, well, it's Zach. It's Zach. he can't do it in a game. I just hope for Zach's sake, when he does get those opportunities, and if they give him those chances, that he performs well. Because I do think the Jets, with Rodgers, they could be a Super Bowl team. They've got a legit defense. I mean, and that's an indictment on Zach, because it's basically the same team, and you change the quarterback, and you go from out of the playoffs to maybe a Super Bowl contender. But that team is always toxic, and high expectations with the Jets can go south in a hurry. They're not stable like the Packers.
No. I think I know the answer to this quickly before we get to a break, but would you rather him stay with the Jets, they get a new staff. Like, think about, like, Tua in Miami. Or would you rather him just go to a new place?
You know, I'd like to see him with the Jets still. I would love that if it was a new staff, because I would love to see, because then you can shave off that label of bust. I mean, it could still be removed, you know, going to another team like Jim Plunkett. You know, he was a bust with the Patriots, and he wins two Super Bowls with the Raiders back in the day. So there's always a path, even Steve Young. But I just think that, you know, I would love to see him rewrite that narrative with the Jets in the big media market and prove to folks that he's not this terrible quarterback like he's been casted as.
I want him gone. No one's ever going to forget those first 2 years. And it was fair. Never fair to begin with. But yeah. It'll never be forgotten. That's the problem. Sports isn't like, you know, our personal lives where you can make a mistake and hopefully people will forgive you and move on. It's very rarely forgiven in sports. Let's take a break, Mitch. On the other side, let's get back to BYU football. We never finished our transfer portal discussion. We'll do that on the other side. All right, Mitch, let's get to this transfer portal stuff that we've been delaying for the better part of an hour and a half.
Let's do it.
So in hour number two, we were talking about this great transfer portal class. It's what, top 20 by some services? Mm-hmm. It's been a great transfer portal class. We already gave our thoughts on who the best player that they brought in, not projecting what will happen this year, but who they brought in. You had Aiden Robbins. I had A.J. Vonkbachan, linebacker and running back, respectively. We took Keaton Slovis off the table for this next, not award, but just next discussion point. Who is going to make the biggest impact in 2023? Who do you got?
Eddie Heckard, Weber State quarterback. I think his leadership, I think he's going to be an outstanding addition for BYU, Eddie Heckard at corner.
For me, right tackle, Caleb Etienne. That was a position that there is talent there, but you were unsure of what was going to materialize. You were hoping for another Blake Freeland. Instead, you bring in Caleb Etienne, who has proven starting experience in the Big 12. He solidifies that group. They could be one of the best in the Big 12. That's a huge addition.
And you keep Braden Keim. And that offensive line is suddenly loaded. I think that this whole transfer portal class, when you look ahead, is this becoming the norm where BYU adds 20-plus a year? I don't think that'll become the case. I think it's an indictment a little bit about last year's team where they were nowhere near ready for the Big 12. And I think this coaching staff, with the new defensive coaching staff, they looked at it and said, we need our guys. We need coaches or players that we feel like will fit better in our scheme. So a lot of defensive presence, but I think also offensively you needed more depth. And so I don't feel like this will become the norm, but I do think that this coaching staff has shown that they can get some high-profile transfers and they can compete with anyone around the nation.
Let me throw one more your way. What's one player from this group that could have a surprise impact that maybe we don't think is going to play a big role?
Wide receiver Keelan Marion from UConn. I think he's going to be terrific. I think he could be a starter, and he might be one of the best receivers in the program by season's end.
That is a very nice pick. I'm going to go Deion Smith, Colorado. I feel like there's maybe an opportunity for him to make a splash outside of just being a running back. Maybe he gets used in the jet sweep action.
Like that.
Maybe he gets used in the return game, some screens. He could be someone who we focus solely on Robbins, and rightfully so, but maybe he can carve out some kind of role as well.
Let's take a timeout. On the other side, we will have Jen Rockwood, BYU women's soccer coach, and then also we'll close out the show with Cougar Tales here on Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports.
It's Cougar Sports Saturday.
It's complete.
Cougar Sports Saturday, a presentation of KSL Sports.
KSL Sports.
Left wing for three.
He got it again!
BYU Sports Talk by Cougar fans, for Cougar fans. Brought to you by Macy's, your local grocer. Here are your hosts, Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte. On Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back in to Cougar Sports Saturday here on June 10th. A few weeks away from all BYU sports becoming official members of the Big 12 Conference. And today's show is brought to you by Macy's, your local grocer. Right now, let's get out to the phone line and bring on the head coach of the women's soccer team, Jen Rockwood, in her 29th season. They're getting ready to join the Big 12. Jen, thanks for spending some time with us. We appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you having me on.
Anytime.
Good to be here.
We love to preview all of BYU's teams, and it's going to be fun to talk about the soccer team. Let's start with this. You guys just took a European tour to Austria and Croatia. Mm-hmm. Where is the value in those kind of trips, and how valuable was it for this particular group heading into the Big 12?
This is a great opportunity to spend some time together. I think it's kind of a chemistry, culture. We're going to some fantastic countries to experience new culture, new places. We play four games over there, you know, to get some extra competition on top of it. But this is a pretty close-knit group. We return all of our starters from this last season. And so hopefully that just creates some more bonds and some more friendships and just getting to know everybody a bit better. And so we just really had a blast and grateful for that opportunity.
With all that talent returning, Coach, with such an experienced team with Breck Mazingo, Olivia Wade Katoa, and Jamie Shepard, what are maybe the expectations that you have for this group in year one of the Big 12?
Yeah, they're always high for us. You know, this will actually be our fourth conference that we've been in. And going into the Big 12, obviously, is a huge opportunity for our sports programs at BYU, but we feel that the WCC has really prepared us to continue to build our brand, to build our program at the national stage, as we've done so, you know, so many times in the past. But we have a lot of returning players that have tremendous experience. I would say about six of those starters for us also started in the national championship game a couple years ago when we played Florida State. So tremendous experience, leadership. We've got some great young players. So just a lot to look forward to. I think we're ready to compete. It's going to be challenging, but why not expect the best? We obviously want to go in and win the conference championship. That's what we expect every year, no matter what conference we're in.
I'm glad you brought up the WCC, is because there were programs, I don't think people realize, that had national championship history, and even a few years ago,
yes,
Santa Clara won it. Well, I'm mm-hmm. curious, what are maybe characteristics of Big 12 soccer programs that you've noticed from, one, either, you know, competing against them over these last, you know, 28 years, or mm-hmm. from your studying, getting ready for this season?
Yeah, I've had the opportunity over my career to play a lot of these programs in the Big 12. Obviously, TCU used to be in our conference in the Mountain West. They do have a new coach since that time that has done a tremendous job. TCU is the top team the last couple years in the Big 12, along with West Virginia. I think, you know, the WCC was such a great soccer conference. I think as we move into the Big 12, we'll see a little bit more athleticism. I think that's kind of the big thing that we'll match up with. Our team tends to be very athletic and fit, and we play a very high-pressure, high-style attacking soccer. And so I think we'll be facing some even better athletes. I think top to bottom, the conference will be a bit more challenging for us. But like I said, the WCC with Santa Clara and Pepperdine, Portland, and the history there in that conference, I think our success there really prepared us to take another step into a P5 conference.
Women's soccer coach Jen Rockwood is our guest here in Cougar Sports Saturday. We've talked about the Big 12 quite a bit. Maybe let's take a macro view here. What, if any, changes have you made or do you think you need to make in the program to be ready for the Big 12?
You know, I think we just have to get better at what we've been doing and what has made us successful. We've been able to have a lot of success, particularly these last 3-4 years with a run to the Final Four. You know, we had a top 10 team the year before that and then a top 15 team last year. So we just have to get better at what we do, be a little bit more committed to the small things, like cleaning up set pieces, being more efficient in our scoring, being more disciplined in our defensive strategy. So I think we won't see a lot of significant changes, just getting really better and cleaner at what we do and what has helped us get to this point.
Looking at the schedule, the non-conference is loaded. You open up with a nationally ranked mm-hmm. St. Louis team and then host defending national champion UCLA. going into the a Power 5 league, you didn't rein it in with the non-conference schedule at all. It's still loaded as ever.
No, I think what we found in the last several years is, playing that tough non-conference schedule is what really helps prepare you to face the challenges of a tough conference. And, you have to go through those ups and downs. You have to put your teams against the best to see where you need to be. Some of the best times of growing during a season is during your non-conference competition. The opportunity to play at UCLA at home, a national championship team. We're going to learn a lot about our team from that. Playing St. Louis, which typically isn't well-known name in women's soccer, but the last 3 years, they've been killing it. They finished in the top 10, top 15 this last year. So we'll know right from the beginning where we are, where we need to go, what we need to do to get better. So I really like challenging our team in our non-conference schedule because I do see the success of that preparedness for not just the conference play, but hopefully postseason play, which is what ultimately our goal is.
In conference play, I love the fact that the Big 12 will put these games on weeknights that don't conflict with football, so there's a bigger stage, I think, for fans to watch. But at the same time, there's a lot of Monday games. How big of a challenge mm-hmm. is that going to be, not being able to practice the day before and have Sunday? I mean, just what do you think is going to go into the impact of playing Monday night games a lot in this league?
Yeah, I think that will be a big challenge for us. Obviously, the logistics of playing a Monday game, whether it's home or on the road, and not being able to, train on Sunday, that's just something that we've always kind of worked around. We've always figured it out. And I assume we'll figure it out. Hopefully we can figure it out real quick. But it will be a challenge. We have to have the mindset ready to go, understanding what, the situations are each weekend and really be determined to make things happen. It's a challenge, but, it is what it is, and we'll make it work. We'll figure it out.
Coach Rockwood, our guest for a few more moments here in Cougar Sports Saturday. You guys have enjoyed a great home field advantage at Southfield for quite some time. How big of a role mm-hmm. do you think that will play, hosting home matches in the Big 12, having that kind of crowd behind you?
Oh, yeah, I think it's huge. We're so fortunate to have a tremendous fan base on Southfield, and we can fill that place up. And our girls love playing with all that energy. It's a huge advantage for us. And, again, we feel fortunate to have that fan base to come support us, not just the local community, but within the state and the student body. I think most teams that will come in aren't used to playing in front of that many fans. So, again, I think that will be a big advantage for us, and we need to take advantage of it for sure. Our first home game in the Big 12 will be against TCU. On a Thursday night, it'll be the first Big 12 competition for BYU against the best soccer program in their conference. So we're really looking forward towards that.
Were there any, in this two-year runway building up to the Big 12, was there any need in your program for maybe facility upgrades or staff enhancements? I know we've seen a lot of that in football. Was that a mm-hmm. requirement for that you wanted to see maybe improvements in going into this Big 12 that you needed?
Sure. I think we always, I think every coach wants more, right? We want more to try and be better. So certainly we love playing at Southfield, but we hope someday that we'll have a more true stadium. I believe that's in the works. And then I believe I have one of the best staffs in the country. No question about that. I have some great experience with Brent Anderson, Steve Magleby, Rachel Jorgensen, who played for me. And now we just added, Tasha Bell. So I've got a fantastic staff. And going into the Big 12 has allowed me to add and make some of those additions. So big benefit for our players and our program.
Well, Jen, thanks for spending some time with us. We look forward to being there at Southfield for many of these matches this fall. And best of luck this season. It'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, we're excited. I appreciate you guys' support. Thanks for having me on.
That's Jen Rockwood here, BYU women's soccer coach, the only head coach in BYU women's soccer history, heading into her 29th season and fourth new league. This is a powerhouse program that looks to level up even more going into the Big 12.
Sweet 16 finished last year, and we'll see if they can make a deeper run this year, but so much experience returning. I think all eyes will be on them to maybe have the most success early in the Big 12 of all BYU's teams.
That's what I was going
to
say, is that they feel like they're the one that steps in, and they could be a preseason favorite. I mean, football will probably be maybe in the bottom four of Big 12 preseason expectations. Basketball will probably be in the bottom two, if I had to guess. Baseball, maybe dead last. I mean, you go through the sports, and there's not many that will be picked in the upper tier of this Big 12, and women's soccer has a chance to really level up. And I think, too, Matt, that being in the Big 12 conference puts on a greater spotlight for these Olympic teams, because I think fans that maybe didn't have maybe the eye for watching, you know, some of these Olympic teams, they're going to be a little more interested because they're like, oh, Texas is rolling in, or Baylor's rolling in. I want to just see those logos go up against each other in any sport. Now it's going to be a common occurrence. I just think that is really neat for these teams, and it's going to be a challenge, though. I mean, that Monday schedule, I've seen that in men's basketball, how difficult it is for them to win games. Very curious to see how they fare with having that set up in league play.
And she touched on this, but what makes it so difficult is the Sunday element. Just no preparation. Yep. They haven't, in the past, worked on that day. Can't imagine that would change going into the Big 12. But just having one less day, and that happens to be a key day in preparation, that's going to be an adjustment. But the good news for Coach Rockwood and this soccer team is exactly what she touched on, Mitch, the experience. They bring back every starter from last year's team. They've got high-end talent in Olivia Katoa and others. Like, this group is poised to be successful. And then I think the other thing that I'm very curious to see, the home field advantage, great, check. The altitude advantage, too, though, playing at home and having teams from Texas and the Midwest come up to the altitude.
Florida.
And as Coach Rockwood mentioned, they're a very aggressive, fast-paced style of play. Like, they were, what, number one in shots last year?
Yes.
So they're going to get up and down. They play a fun style of soccer. That's going to be a challenge as well for visiting teams. So, for sure, this team is in the pole position of all teams entering the Big 12 to win a championship their first year.
I'm excited to follow them more this year, and I love, again, that they're going to take on weeknight stages where it's not conflicting with football. Again, that's one of the perks of being in the Big 12 is that when you're in a league that focuses on football, number one, all the other sports will then be in stages where they can be spotlighted. The WCC didn't give a rip about football. So when football is over at LES, women's soccer is playing at South Field, you're like, they're not getting the support and the limelight that they probably deserve.
Yep.
When they were having those undefeated seasons or nationally ranked seasons in the WCC. But this will be a tough test in the Big 12, and I'm very curious to see how they perform and how they compete night in, night out with the athletes that are going to be in the Big 12 Conference. We appreciate Jen Rockwood joining us to talk and preview this upcoming season for BYU Women's Soccer. Cougar Sports Saturday, powered by KSL Sports.
Been a great show so far. Welcome back in, final segment of the show, and thanks to Jen Rockwood for joining, kind of talking about women's soccer. It was fun to have her on, and looking forward to that team. I think, you know, we touched on this earlier, Mitch, but with them having a little bit more spotlight to them with their schedule and when they play, it'll be fun to see if this team can live up to the expectations of being at the top of the Big 12 Conference. But like we always do at this time, let's wrap up the show with some news and notes that we missed. We call this Cougar Tales, and our producer, Nate Slack, he is the host. What did we miss today?
Yeah, I got some stuff. So this past week, the youth camp started at BYU. I'm curious if you guys have had any experience having your kids or family or friends go to these youth camps that BYU puts on in the summers.
Nate, you and I have children under 6 months old. So, no, I have not experienced the youth camp. I do have cousins that go every year. I think it is phenomenal. They do a great job of intermingling with coaches and players. My cousins who go every year have just nothing but good things to say about Cougar Camp. I think it's awesome. Can't wait to put my kids in it. Camp season's a lot of fun down at BYU.
Last year, my boys were in the football and basketball camps. Basketball one, they didn't have Mark Pope and the men's team and all there. They were interacting with Coach Whiting and the women's basketball squad. But the football camp was pretty fun. They had Kalani doing some hands-on coaching. And I told Kalani, I said, my second son here, he's
well on his way to being a zero tech like Kairos Tonga. No, it's pretty fun, you know, going to those camps. And I remember as a kid going to basketball camp, I remember being in some five-on-five pickup games, and Jared Jensen, the old big man, because of course I was in the post, he was kind of my coach for my team, and he was teaching me some of the back to the basket, the seal off with the pivot foot. So good memories at BYU basketball
camp. I'll tell you what a great time for Cougar camp, because it's not blazing hot. I mean, there's been some camps in June where it's like kissing 100. I mean, this would be a great time to play football.
Yeah, not bad at all. And then this summer, there's also going to be a few different parties for BYU entering the Big 12 Conference. I'm not sure if you guys saw that, but there's going to be the big countdown on Friday, June 30th at 11:30 p.m. in the SAB practice field. And then the next day, the big party, Saturday, July 1st, the first day of BYU in the Big 12 Conference, from 3 to 6, also with the SAB.
No offense to these parties, but the party that I will be attending on July 1st is Stadium of Fire. That's what it is all about that weekend. It's going to be a historic day, but they needed to bring in, like, the carnivals that come from, like, it's Strawberry Days, and, like, in Orem right now, there's Summerfest. Bring that in, then I'll come to the party. But I'm going to Stadium of Fire.
I'm just curious for that June 30th one that is taking place at 11:30 p.m. Are they dropping a ball? Are they doing something when the clock hits midnight? Because it's on the student athlete building practice fields. I'm just very curious to see what that looks like when it becomes official and the clock strikes midnight. What are they releasing? So that should be pretty fun. But again, it's a historic time. Do it big. It's BYU to the Big 12. You've been waiting for this moment for decades, Cougar fans. Enjoy it and embrace it. So great work by BYU's marketing and athletic department to have this event to connect the fans to this program that's going into such a historic move. But that's going to do it for us. Big thanks to you, Nate Slack, for putting together this show and Cougar Tales and the top five that I, of course, blew, had a 2-0 lead. Big thanks to our board op, Eric. Big thanks to Matt Biamonte. I am Mitch Harper. I'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Matt will hold it down along with Nate over the next 2 weeks. And then when I come back, it'll be July 1 and BYU will be a member in the Big 12 Conference. So I'll talk to you then here on Cougar Sports Saturday, and it's always powered by KSL Sports.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.